The Inner Voice Show is a dialogue between the host and the listeners about their relationships. This show is not an attempt to assess, diagnose, or treat any mental health or illness condition. Please consult your physician, psychiatrist, or psychotherapist for personal matters.
Inner Voice. A heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain and have Sean in studio. Now, this show is about women's life, your thoughts, your emotions, your actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life together. So in this show, I'll bring you the latest research about actually college students who are going through a lot and how their depression and anxiety all over the world is getting higher and higher. And the trauma that happens in childhood, how it affects us in adulthood, starting with the adulthood as we go to school and we become an adult. And then we have two guests actually today, both kind of sci-fi. So Alexandra Munir, who's an author of The Final Six book, which is becoming a movie, and it's wonderful. And then after that, we're going to be talking to Dustin Ferguson, who is also a filmmaker. He's done so many movies, and he does editing his movie. He directs, he acts, he does video, and I'll tell you a lot more about him as we continue the show. And then we would also love to hear from you. So you can call us anytime during the show at 951-922-3532. 951-922-3532. So don't go anywhere. We're going to have a jam-packed and really interesting show.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zain. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice, Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian has a direct approach to getting you to free your mind. Inner Voice is a live call-in show where you can chat about your life and all that matters to you in your relationships. Inner Voice, Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian, Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk, KMET, 1490 AM, and on the Internet Stream.
Well, first, I want to tell you that my heart goes out to everyone in Carolina with the Hurricane Florence, and it's killed about 25 people already and just devastated everyone there. I keep looking at the visual and the pictures and on TV, and my heart goes out. I remember that when we had the earthquake in California, I was in Northridge, and it was really, really horrible what we went through, but it's nothing like what the Carolina are going through. I know that at this point is more of just survival, and they're trying to get everything. But I know that after all of that and the trauma, everybody's going to go through a lot in recreating and the loss that they've gone through. So we'll talk more about what to do after you go through a loss in our programs. I have a couple of announcements that I wanted to share with you, which are very, very close to my heart. Some are very fun and some kind of sad. And then hopefully we can be for all of them in one way or another. So the first announcement, I know that if you watched the show last week or heard the show last week, we had Dr. Habib Sadeghi here and his wife, Dr. Sherry Sami, which started the Love Button movement. They're going to have a life benefit concert, which is presents the Sufi Qawwali Fana Fiela ensemble live musical performance and celebration of poet Rumi on October 2nd in Santa Monica. And this love movement has gone everywhere. It's already in millions and millions of people's world and love. And it's just a matter of spreading love to remind you that we all need love and we can offer it. So go to lovebutton.org. lovebutton.org. And if you like to go and join them, that'd be amazing. They have amazing performances. The next fun thing for all of your kids and you as adults and teenagers, it's the Knights of the Jack in, is a Halloween jack-o'-lantern experience tailored for all ages. And the show will feature thousands of hand-carved illuminated pumpkins, never happened in California before, situated throughout the stunning property at King Gillett Ranch in Calabasas, California. Yeah. This year, allow your family and friends to experience the Halloween season, experience like you've never had it before. KnightsOfTheJack.com. KnightsOfTheJack.com. It's going to be every night from October 11th all the way to 31st, October 31st. You can get your tickets online if you like. It's going to go really fast, although it's going to be the whole night. But it's never been there before. It's just the stunning light up pumpkins from everywhere. And it's just amazing. So go catch it because it's new. And I'm positive that you guys are going to enjoy it. Now, I got this email that it really touched my heart. And I know that for anyone who's listening, that it will also touch your heart. And you can choose if this is a place that if you at any point wanted to support and help, you could just places like Love Button or other organizations, charities, other organizations that are taking care of people's heart and lung and cancer and all of that. But this came for me and it really, really touched my heart. So I just wanted to share it with all of you. The email said, my family and I know these people, so I know it's the truth. My family has been confronted with heartbreaking family news. Our four-year-old grandson, Eli, has recently been diagnosed with a rare neurodegenerative disease, a truncation on one of the genes, IRF2BPL gene. Genetic testing on this gene was only introduced a few years ago, and therefore there's a very limited conducted. What we do know is that all children found to have a truncation, which means a shortening on this gene, are severely impacted. Typically, developing children who are so happy, healthy kids start to lose muscle functions and are left immobile, speechless, and prisoners in a lifeless body. That is so sad. Eli developed as a happy, energetic child, providing all the promise parents have for their children. Once Eli turned 18 months, his parents realized was wrong, and he wasn't walking or talking like other children his age. After several doctor visits, they decided to have Eli undergo a whole exome sequencing, which looks for abnormalities in his genes. Now, several months later, they received a devastating diagnosis that changed their life. Eli's doctor said that there is a very limited information available for this disease, and it's a neurodegenerative brain disease that will lead to vision impairment, immobility, loss of speech and communication, and cognitive impairment in the childhood years. Because of its rarity, minimal research dollars have found its way to its solution for Eli and other innocent children suffering from this disease. Despite the fact that they have found hope, but they're racing toward against time. We have teamed up with two leading labs in neurodegenerative diseases and gene therapy to help find a cure for Eli. And in order for them to find a solution for Eli and children like him before it's too late, both labs must conduct highly accelerated studies, which requires a significant amount of money. Now, the money that they raise will help to fund these vital research efforts in hopes that they can work not only to stop the progression of the disease, but also to cure the disease. And they've been told that they need about between $3 to $5 million to fund this critical research. So there's nothing more devastating than watching a child suffer. And the definition of suffering has changed quite dramatically with this diagnosis. And they're hoping to shield him from the pain that many children with his disease have already experienced. So while saving the life of Eli, their concern, their primary concern, is these research efforts to be contribute to curing other neurodegenerative diseases. So if you like to help, go to standbyeli.org, standbyeli.org, and become one of Eli's angels and many of the other children's angels today. So we'll be with your research.
Fujian Zane is a psychotherapist, a marriage and family therapist, and a life coach with more than 27 years of experience. She is the author of the Awareness Integration Model, which has been researched and published in numerous international journals. Dr. Fujian has offices in Beverly Hills, Irvine, and Woodland Hills, California, and also consults online and by telephone. Make an appointment with her today by calling 818-648-2140 or go online to www.fujian.com. That's www.fujian.com. Were you recently injured in a car accident? Then you need the law offices of Aria Thatakar for your free case evaluation. Don't let the medical bills pile up and don't let the insurance companies try to settle your claim for a few hundred dollars. Call 714-464-3246. The law offices of Aria Thatakar serves all of California. If they don't win, you don't pay. So call now, 714-464-3246. This is a paid-for attorney advertisement by the law offices of Aria Thatakar of Orange, California.
Hello. I'm back. I'm going to tell you about two different research. One third of college freshmen report symptoms of mental illness. That's a lot. One third of college freshmen report it. That is a lot. A new study published in the Journal of Abnormal Psychology finds, I'm trying to find my research. I just lost it. There you go. Okay, we're back. A new study published in the Journal of Abnormal Psychology finds that freshmen from 19 colleges in 8 countries report symptoms consistent with a diagnosable psychological disorder. That is huge. While effective care is important, the number of students who need treatment for these disorders far exceed the resources of most counseling centers, resulting in a substantial unmet need for mental health treatment among college students. Considering that students are a key population for determining the economic success of any country, colleges might take a greater urgency in addressing this issue. So for this study, Dr. Auerbach, and his research team analyzed data from the World Health Organization's and World Mental Health International College Student Initiative. In it, almost 14 students from 19 colleges in 8 countries, Australia, Belgium, Germany, Mexico, Northern Ireland, South Africa, Spain, and the United States responded to questionnaires to evaluate common mental disorders, including major depression, generalized anxiety disorder, and panic disorder. I know that just starting college, I have had a lot of students who are my clients who are coming to exactly treat these three. The researchers found that 35 respondents reported symptoms consistent with at least one mental health disorder as defined in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health. Major depressive disorder was the most common, followed by generalized anxiety disorders. Now, the finding that one-third of students from multiple countries screened positive for at least one of the six mental health disorders represents a key global mental health issue. Now, previous research suggests that only 15 to 20% of students will seek services at their college's counseling center, which may already be overtaxed, according to the Dr. Arbaugh. Now, if students need help outside of their school counseling center or local psychologist, they can seek internet resources and online cognitive behavioral therapies or other type of online work, which, again, I've done a lot this past year just for students. Actually, for our AI model, awareness integration model, which is in the Life Reset book, we did a research in Cal State Long Beach for the AI model. And the same thing, we found there's so much of depression and anxiety. And just doing the AI model on their own by journaling and going through the questions, their depression came down 63% and anxiety came down 43%. So there are ways to handle this. It's just a matter of universities getting onto it and really creating courses for this to be able to help the college's students. Now, university systems are currently working at capacity and counseling centers tend to be cyclical with students ramping up service use toward the middle of the semester and they get bottlenecked. Now, inter-based clinical tools may be helpful in providing treatment to these students, which I do, and it does. It really works for them. So future research is actually needed to focus on this and be able to take care of these students because this is our youth. This is our young group. And starting your adulthood with anxiety, panic disorders, and depression is not going to create a lot of success. There's a lot of high rate of suicide. So it's also important for this initiatives to reduce the stigma and across and the world and to be able to get them to students to go and take care of themselves and get better tools. And that's why it is so important. Now, the second also this week, which also relates to that, is childhood trauma tied to a greater social dysfunction in adults and major mental illnesses. So not only that our young adults are having a lot of stress going to school, but also many of them might also have childhood traumas, which is tied to impaired social cognition in adults diagnosed with major psychiatric disorders. According to this new IRIS study, which was published recently in Journal of European Psychiatry. So social cognition in a psychology term related to how people process and apply information regarding other people and social interactions. It focuses on the role that cognitive processes play in social situations. For example, the way we think about others significantly influences how we think and feel and interact with the people around us. The study findings show that traumatic early social environment often leads to social cognitive problems and greater illness severity for people with schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, borderline personality disorder, major depressive disorders, and PTSD, post-traumatic disorders. Early childhood neglect, abuse, and trauma puts patients at greater risk for developing these cognitive impairments and will later affect social perception and interaction, or aspects of the disability in major psychiatric disorders. So problems with social cognitive function are hallmark of feature of major psychiatric disorders, resulting in poor social and occupational functioning, especially with regards to emotional recognition and regulation, the theory of the mind. Trauma and traumatic childhood experiences, such as emotional and physical abuse and neglect, sexual abuse, early loss of caregivers, insecure attachment styles, are all reported and is up to 85% of patients with various psychiatric disorders. So these findings help us gain a better understanding of the links between a traumatic early social environment and subsequent social cognitive problems and greater illnesses, severities to a range of major psychiatric disorders in adulthood. So the first 3 years of life, sensitive. They're very sensitive period for the development of attachment to trauma during this attachment. And exposure to trauma during this time has irreversible effects sometimes on future cognition, social and emotional development. I don't think it's irreversible if you get help really quickly and allow the child to be healed through that. And they don't have to. But if they didn't get help, then it would be irreversible because it becomes part of the fabric of their character as they're growing. So the association between childhood adversity and insecure attachment is supported by a number of studies. And once a dysfunctional attachment pattern is formed in childhood, it tends to persist later in life and can cause misperception of others and their intention and their beliefs. So higher level of threat vigilance can distract abuse victims from processing cognitive and social, and the lack of stable positive role models can interfere with their ability to recognize and respond to emotional cues. Now you put the same people close to violence and guns, it's really going to create a lot of havoc for everyone. So the researchers hope the new findings will guide the public health efforts to develop a clinical intervention with a better understanding of the connection between early trauma and later death. So health clinicians may be able to develop more strategic interventions, which I will again say awareness integration model is a trauma relief model. So please, if you know people who have had childhood trauma, support them, help them. They don't need to, they don't deserve to, they don't need to go through so much. They can definitely get healed, get better, and just take care of themselves and don't have to go through all of this. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be back with Alexandra Munir. She is the author of The Final Six. We're going to talk to her any minute.
A new life now. You're free from our old ties. I can understand how was all I knew a lie. We could live on.
Welcome to Inner Voice Show, Dr. Fujian Zain, and I'm going to talk to Alexandra Munir. She's an Iranian-American author of the hit young adult science fiction novel, The Final Six, right here, published by HarperCollins. Number one Amazon bestseller in Barnes & Noble's 2018 summer reading list selection. Wow, I'm proud of you, Alexandra. With a movie adaptation in development pictures. She has additionally published four other books with Random House, including the best-selling young adult time travel novel Timeless and a sequel Timekeeper. She is also a singer and a songwriter. The sound that you just heard, this beautiful voice, was hers, who often integrates music into her book pages. She wrote and recorded three original songs to accompany Timeless and Timekeeper, released at the album The Timeless EP and distributed by Jimmy Buffett's record label. Male Boat Records. She has additionally composed music for the stage, and Alexandra's musical roots run deep, as she is the granddaughter of the late Munir Vahili, Iran's foremost opera singer, and the daughter of singer-songwriter Zaza. Now, you can find her at alexandramunir.com. Welcome to my show, Alexandra.
Thank you so much, Dr. Zen. It's so wonderful to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. I love this book. So tell us a little bit about it. I love this first. I'm going to tell everybody what you wrote on the first page. A funny thing happens when you have nothing left to live for. This is how she starts. So tell us a little bit about what's going on in this book.
Yeah. So when the book opens, it's actually really strange timing that we're talking about this now while, this horrible hurricane is happening. And there was just a typhoon also. But basically, at the beginning of the final six, most of the world is underwater because of, you know, the effects of climate change and just the gradually rising sea levels and all the kind of natural disasters that have been occurring have caused the world to really, our planet to basically be dying on us. And there are two main characters. One is Leo from Italy, and the other is Naomi Ardalan, who's Iranian-American. And Leo opens the book with his chapter, and he's lost pretty much everyone he knows in the flooding of Rome. And he's been trying and struggling to survive, but at this point there literally is nothing left to live for. But he ends up, I really wanted to show him, he's about to make that choice that, you know, is so heart-wrenching, and it's become such an epidemic lately to take his own life, but ultimately he ends up making the decision not to. And after making the decision not to, the most incredible thing that he could ever imagine happens to him, which is he is chosen in this draft of teenagers from around the world who've been handpicked to find us a new world on Jupiter's moon Europa. So that is the beginning of the book, and obviously it tells a really big global story, but it also is a human story, and I wanted to really have that opening chapter show that even when there's nothing left to live for, in your mind, you never know, like, this could be the best day of your life.
Yes, you're right. Your existence loses all its sharp edges. There are no more steep drop, no hills, no to climb. Colors blur and muddle together until your surroundings are a bunch of meaningless shapes and figures painted in the same shade of gray. There's nothing that could possibly surprise you or resurrect those old sensations of joy or fear. No human could be as unfeeling, as numb as you are. And then, just when you're getting lulled into the monotonous routine, something snaps and you say no more. That's awesome. So
thank you.
What happens afterward? What gets you to write these books? What is it that it's about, moving away and fear, the fear of what's going to happen, and then moving away to somewhere else? And you write a lot of your books for teenagers, right? Is that your population?
Yeah. So basically, I got my first book deal when I was 23. So I was very close to the teenage experience, and the young adult genre had really just taken off with Harry Potter and The Hunger Games, and I loved those books, and I really wanted to write for that audience and for that genre. And what's become so great about this demographic is that really at this point, you know, people of all ages are reading my books and just young adult novels in general. So that's been really cool, is that you're basically writing for everyone, but the protagonist of your story is always going to be, you know, a teenager, someone coming of age. And so you get to kind of experience all those life-defining moments with them. I do plan to write for adults too, and in fact, I have ideas that I'm working on now, but I think I'm always going to be writing young adult too, because there's just, I still feel really close to that experience, and I just think it's such a, those formative years are so important, and yeah, I mean, there's nothing like it.
Alexandra, as you are working with teenagers, and obviously they give you a lot of feedback, and you work with teens and young adults because you're writing for them. I'm sure you meet them places. I think Final Six is becoming a movie, right?
It's been optioned by Sony, which is really exciting, but I don't know yet if the movie will actually happen. It's just in development, but hopefully.
So as an author who gets a lot of feedback from this community, and as you probably heard as I was going through the research about the young adults going to college, and I've seen this right now actually even starting with preteens. We have so many of the preteens of the depression and through their high school and through college and all the way to probably finishing their bachelor's degree, we're getting a sense of this type of depression that is happening, the unknown future. And what are your thoughts as an author, as someone who is constantly getting feedback from this group, and you're knowing all of this is what also gets you to write about them and write what's for them. Tell us a little bit about your opinion about that.
Yes, well, I definitely think, adolescent anxiety and depression, it's always been prevalent, but I think now what's nice is that people are talking about it so much more. And what's really cool is that a lot of authors have become very open about it. Like, I'm open about the fact that I have anxiety, and I can be really, really anxious. And there are a lot of authors that, you know, will talk about. John Green, who's huge, he's like the biggest name in YA, or one of them. He talks about how he has struggled with OCD, and Veronica Roth, who wrote Divergent, talks about her anxiety. And I don't know, it's something with creative people, I guess. So many of us have some form of anxiety. And some also have depression as well. And I just think the fact that we can be open about that and talk about it is so important, because it lets young people know that there's nothing to be ashamed of, and that counseling, therapy is so important. Medication can be great. You know, like, none of that stuff, there shouldn't be any stigma around it, because just like you wouldn't be ashamed to take diabetes medication or go see a doctor for diabetes, it should be the same thing for anything, you know, mental. And so what I try and do with my books is, I haven't tackled that specifically, but, you know, just on the page, I think I have a really kind of open and empathetic voice. And when readers reach out to me with any of their struggles, I really try to be there for them and let them know that they have someone they can talk to, for sure. And I think I think a common thread in my books is that there's always an element of darkness, but there's also, I think, the defining thing is hope, too. So, you know, it's a book that people that are going, my books are people who are going through really hard times or dark things can read them and feel maybe understood. But at the same time, there's just a lot of hope and wish fulfillment in there, too.
And what is it about the darkness and the doom and gloom that it's constantly, and it's coming as if the world is ending, as most of the sci-fi books, most of the movies, it's about ending the world.
Yeah.
For someone who writes about this and imagines this and still gives us hope, tell me, what is this concept about ending the world that is in all the books and the movies?
I think it's a few things. I think the really kind of catastrophic natural disasters that we've been seeing, like last year with, you know, Hurricane Harvey and Maria, and like, I mean, just so much devastation has been happening on a global scale. So I think that naturally brings up the topic, and I think our world just feels very unstable right now for a whole bunch of reasons. And so I think it's something that people have talked about since long before I was born. I think everyone kind of has questions about, well, when is this all going to end? Are we going to be wiped out like the dinosaurs or things like that? But I think right now it's just feeling, there's a little bit more of an urgency to that feeling. But at the same time, again, like, I think hope is the most important ingredient. And so in the Final Six, I do talk about things that could be done to save our planet now. You know what I mean? So So I think that's really important too, to basically explore our fears and our and the themes of what is kind of in that global discussion, but also provide hope or seeds. I mean, even just the idea of like finding a new world, there's hope in that. It's saying that we're not going to let anything like cost us our life.
Yes, and I hear this message through your book, which is although reality has some darkness and we have to face it, but we don't have to be powerless against it. We might feel powerless at some point, but we don't have to be powerless against it. And there are times that there are things that we can, and we don't always have to have supernatural abilities. We can use science. Yeah. We can use things that are there in order to take care of us in any way. And then sensing that that's where some of the hope shows up, the strength, the new you can feel good about each other, hope helping each other. There are people who can come in as a team, and although, you know, they might also have difficulty with each other, but there's love, there's loss, and there's that there's something that internally you can tap into to get you to that strength, the inner strength to get up and do something for yourself and everyone around you. Tell me how you created that in this book.
So I think the best example of that would be the character of Naomi, because she has no special powers supernaturally, but she has this incredible brain and she has courage and she has strength. So when she sort of senses that this organization that has drafted them and is training them to go into space, and it's basically set up like a competition. There's 24 finalists, but only 6 get to actually go. And so that's the nature of the title, the final 6. And Naomi, whereas the other ones are all desperate to be chosen, Naomi is, because she's so brilliant, she kind of can tell that there's more to this mission than meets the eye, and that they could be walking into a trap potentially. And so she uses her brain to kind of, I mean, there are scenes of her hacking robots and doing all sorts of things to kind of find out the truth and find out answers. And so for me, that was something really exciting to kind of explore, with a woman using her brain to kind of move forward in a situation where you do feel like you're sort of powerless at the hands of all these authority figures, but she's able to kind of forge her own path by her own fortitude and her own skills. And so that was really fun to write.
That's fantastic. If you wanted your our listeners and the readers of the book to get the final word from you, what would you like to say to them?
Well, the book has been compared to The Hunger Games meets The Martian. So if that appeals to you, I think you'll definitely enjoy it. And I'm just so excited to share this book. I think it has a lot in it to appeal to readers of different types of fiction. It's obviously a big kind of epic sci-fi story. So if you enjoy things like Star Wars and Star Trek, I think you'll really like it. But at its heart, it's very much a human story. And the two narrators of the book actually end up falling in love. And so there's a really big love story as well. And so,
That's beautiful. Well, right after you, that my next guest is going to be Dustin Ferguson, who is a talented filmmaker. Maybe he's listening actually to us as we're talking, and maybe he'll pick up your book, because he's having all of the, he's making, he's the director and producer of sci-fi movies. So you never know, awesome. Maybe on my show, we create a whole new movie out of Final 6 and make sure that it comes out.
Yes, that would be amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much, Alexandra, for being on my show.
Thank you.
For everyone who's listening and watching us, this is Final 6. So this is an amazing book. So go get it. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles. It was made the first. This is the best book. It came out as Amazon's bestseller. So everyone, give it to your teenagers. You read it too. And again, Alexandra, I'm proud of you. You've done amazing. And
Thank you. It's such an honor.
Just get an angelic voice. So take care of yourself, and hopefully you get to meet Dustin after this.
Yeah.
So we'll be right back with Dustin Ferguson, and we're going to have a listen to a little bit more of Alexandra's beautiful voice.
Catch my eye, tell me what you see. Wonder if they could guess it about me. Here I'm standing in a double life, one with love, one with strife.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice, Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fushan. Dr. Fushan has a direct approach to getting you to free your mind. Inner Voice is a live call-in show where you can chat about your life and all that matters to you in your relationships. Inner Voice, Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fushan, Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk, KMET, 1490 AM, and on the Internet Stream.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fushan Zain. You can get it now at Fushan.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
Were you recently injured in a car accident? Then you need the law offices of REF Datacar for your free case evaluation. Don't let the medical bills pile up, and don't let the insurance companies try to settle your claim for a few hundred dollars. Call 714-464-3246. The law offices of REF Datacar serves all of California. If they don't win, you don't pay. So call now, 714-464-3246. This is a paid-for attorney advertisement by the law offices of Arya Thadikar of Orange, California.
Dr. Fushan Zain is a psychotherapist, a marriage and family therapist, and a life coach with more than 27 years of experience. She is the author of the Awareness Integration Model, which has been researched and published in numerous international journals. Dr. Fushan has offices in Beverly Hills, Irvine, and Woodland Hills, California, and also consults online and by telephone. Make an appointment with her today by calling 818-648-2140 or go online to www.fushan.com. That's www.fushan.com.
Welcome back to Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fushan Zain, and I'm being joined by Dustin Ferguson. I've had the pleasure of meeting him on one of my television shows, and I'm so glad on this show with me. A prolific, I can't talk at it anymore, hardworking and talented filmmaker. Dustin has owned and operated several film distribution and production companies, including 42 Second Street Films and Sinister Studios. He's directed over 50 features to date. So young, too, including such notable films as Camp Blood 405, Silent Night, Bloody Night 2, which was a sequel of Ghostbusters, a very Brady sequel. Dustin also produced and directed over 80 music videos and has contracted with Wild Eye Releasing to produce Amityville Legacy. Remember Amityville? The horror show Amityville Evil Never Dies. After mastering the world of horror and ghosts and goblins, talented filmmaker switched gears with sci-fi and cyborgs by teaming up with legendary filmmaker Albert Payoun on Nemesis 5, The New Model. Ferguson is in pre-production for the much-anticipated new sci-fi film, Robo Woman, Dustin is also a cinematographer of the upcoming documentary, What an Institution, the Story of Police Academy. Wow, I'm really excited to see that. His latest project, Horn Dogs Beach Party, reunites him with Scream Queen Steven and Lee Heising, as well as Troy Froming and Vida Ghaffari, who was the Mindy Project in Jimmy Kimmel's Live. So excited to have you with us again, Dustin. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me here.
I know you are so busy, and with my last guest, I was actually another one to work with, The Final Six by Alexandra Monier. See, I was even getting you more movies to go to work with.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
So tell us about you. Tell us about all that you are working on and what you want our listeners to know about you and where to go and find all of your great movies.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, in a nutshell, one of my recent films, Nemesis 5, has sort of been working the festival circuit recently. It won some awards at Nollywood. And it's up for some more, up at the Lucky Strike Film Festival this weekend. So very excited about that. It's going to be coming out to DVD this December. And as you mentioned, it's like a follow-up to the movies that were directed by Albert Pune in the 90s. So this is basically the final installment. So we're real excited to have it come out. And, yeah, we're working on Robo Woman right now. We are in pre-production, and we do all of our filming in November. So we're kind of aiming for an early 2019 release for that. And, yeah, the documentary, the Police Academy documentary, we just finished up, and we're working on a Night of the Demons one as well. And I'm just staying really busy. And, of course, my music project. I had two music videos come out in the last 2 weeks for my Dirty Bee project, so that's been fun, too.
Yes. Tell me a little bit about the documentary, What an Institution, the Story of Police Academy. What got you into documentary films?
You know, people sort of pigeonhole me into horror because I'm a horror fan, you know, at heart. But I like all sorts of movies. I like action films and dramas and documentaries. And documentary films have always been an interest of mine. Like, I'm very into the nonfiction aspects of, like, you know, filmmaking and behind the scenes and what goes into how things happen. And so, you know, just through networking, and once I moved out here to California, I was offered a gig to be the director of photography on that Police Academy one. And being a fan of the films, you know, is a huge honor. And it was a lot of fun, actually, because we had, I think I was telling you on the show, we had close to like 50 interviews on for that documentary. And so it was pretty extensive. It was 14 days, 12 hours a day. We interviewed cast and crew from all of the films and the cartoon series and the TV series. And it's really exciting, and it should be coming out by this next summer.
Wonderful. So I know that you were pretty much born in the 80s, but you were raised in the 80s, and you love the way that the 80s films were. And you have a lot of that in your in your movies. So say a little bit about what is it about the 80s that you love so much, which you keep going back and wanting us to remember it?
I think that, you know, at least for my generation, those are the classic times. You know, that's the simpler time. That's when you didn't need a whole lot to captivate your audience. You just needed some creativity and a little atmosphere and a good story. And I think that a lot of that is lost in filmmaking today because of, you know, due to the advancements in technology. I think a lot of films rely a lot on special effects and essentially eye candy and, you know, whatever the newest, biggest thing is. And I think that there's sort of a way to go about it that you can make your film still timeless and sort of stand the test of time and be classic without having to infuse all of that. And, you know, growing up in the 80s and 90s, that was sort of the last era for those films. You know, the movies that we regard as classics are from that era now, and I can't say the same for the types of films that are being made today because everything is so disposable. Everything's a brand that's meant to promote the current, you know, thing that's popular, and then next year it's going to be something different. And that's not the approach I want to take. I respect films as art, and so I want them to be my films to be viewed as art and stand the test of time.
What is your excitement about horror movies? What is it about you that have become the guru of the horror movies, and especially for teenagers and young adults?
You know, I'm sure there's lots of different things that kind of go into that. I mean, namely just that I grew up a fan. You know, I grew up in the video store era. I spent my weekends renting, you know, tons of horror films, watching them all the time, studying them.
You actually owned one, didn't you?
Yes, actually, yeah, yeah, it's still running in Nebraska. I opened a video store early last year called Old School Video. That was, yeah, VHS, DVD, Laserdisc, Beta, everything. And I sold, after only running it for a year and getting into Nemesis 5, I decided to move to California. So I was able to sell the store, actually, to my screenwriter of Nemesis 5. And so he's kept it running in Nebraska. It's still going. It's the only one pretty much in the Midwest still. So that's definitely awesome. But I think that that whole thing definitely played a part in the type of filmmaker I became, because it's just who I am as a person. I appreciate the classics. I understand what worked about them, and I find new ways to keep it relevant. And I think that that just builds on itself. You know, as time goes on and the more I do, the more knowledgeable I become and the more experienced I become. And it's definitely what I love doing.
Are you taking the same concept into the sci-fi movies, or is it completely different? Are you taking the same component of the energy and the fear, and that's what's going into the sci-fi, or is it different for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, and I've discussed before that I think today everybody's a brand and sort of like their own flavor. And I think that almost anything I do, whether it's a horror film or a documentary or a comedy or a sci-fi, if anything, you can tell it's a Dustin Ferguson film because it's fun. You know, like, I feel like that's sort of what my genre is. It's just a fun, entertaining, exciting movie to watch. And then the subgenre is whatever, you know, sci-fi or horror. So I think that a movie like Rebel Woman is very much the same as, you know, Meat Hook Massacre or Amon Deville that I've made, because it's, I approach it the same way, to, you know, despite what genre it is. It's just that certain era, you know, I'm just trying to keep that alive, keep my flavor going in it. So I think that it's definitely being approached the same way. Some movies, you know, that I work on have a bigger budget than others. Rebel Woman has a decent budget. So as far as like special effects go, those will be, you know, nice, and we'll have a little money for stuff like that. But the focus will always be, for me, the atmosphere and the storytelling.
Where can they see the Nemesis 5, the new bottle?
It'll be out on DVD and Blu-ray from Worldwide Multimedia via their subdivision, Sector 5. It should be out in December. Like I said, right now it's
beautiful.
Hitting on the festival.
And where can they see you this weekend? Where are you going this weekend?
It's at the Lucky Strike Film Festival. I think it's near Hollywood. I have to double check on that, but people can look it up, obviously. And it'll be playing this weekend, and then the award ceremony is after.
Beautiful. Thank you. It was such a joy to have you with us and our show, Dustin Ferguson, everyone. And it was great to, again, have the opportunity to be with you. And remember, you said if you needed a therapist in your videos, and you should, with all of these horror people, they're going to be scared.
Definitely. Yes, and the honor is all mine. Thank you so much for having me.
Take care, Dustin. Thank you for being with us. And for all of you who are listening and watching us through the live stream, and maybe, you know, later at the podcast, have a spectacular week. Create a great one for yourself and everyone around you. And until next week, bye-bye.